This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 586. We now feature 133 megahertz and 16 megabytes of RAM. So we are very powerful indeed. I'm Brian Kilby. 586 was like the code for the Pentium people who, that was the family. That was a long time ago. that was 21 years ago, 23 years ago. 23 years ago is when that came out. Jeez.
Wow.
1995.
Yeah.
Maybe 94, but the first time I played around with a Pentium was a 95. Dang. Man, that's when I knew that computer.
I never really would have thought to go to that reference with this episode number.
Yeah.
So, congratulations.
We can never have an x86. So, just 586 works.
Well, I mean, it depends how stringent you want to get here, because technically we could have any episode number ending in 86 and call it x86.
Yeah, we could. 686 could be Pentium 2, then Pentium 3. Hey, I'm Brian Kilby again. With me, I have Chris. That was Chris. Rob is there. John, are you there?
He may or may not be. He said be right back in the chat a few minutes ago. Yeah. I don't know if he actually came back.
Don's here.
Hello.
Matt.
Hey.
Diecast.
Yo.
And Jason came along to save us from our Star Trek conversation.
Thank you.
That may or may not be the post-show that you hear at the end of this week's episode.
Yeah. My biggest regret was that I couldn't contribute to the Star Trek conversation.
Well, now that you're here, you can, Jason. Let's start over.
All right, so Pale Moonlight.
Jason, I think you can live with it.
Because I can live with it.
He can live with it.
God. And John's here. John left during the Star Trek talk.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't blame
Disgusting.
Him.
Disgusting.
Diecast. I am shocked and dismayed by your lack of faith.
Well, at the same time, if it had been comic book discussion or wrestling discussion, I might have got up and left. So I can't really blame him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anybody here who wants to talk about comics anymore.
True. Well, until Star Trek versus
That depends on what wrestling you want to talk, Brian. If you want to talk NXT, I'm here all night.
Yeah, okay. TakeOver was really good.
Yes, it was.
But TakeOver Brooklyn 2015 features my favorite NXT match of all time. So
what would that be?
There it is.
Can you tell how excited we all are by the Transformers news tonight?
Hey, so a couple things. One, now that I have kids, which, take a drink, I guess, for the kids' reference. I'm constantly sick. I've been out 2 days with the 2-year-old who has a stomach virus, and now I have a stomach virus.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm running a fever as we record this. So I think we're going to...
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I think we're going to play it, slow and loose, or fast and loose, or high pressure and loose, however it works out. I think we're going to play things a little
long enough with high pressure and it will get loose.
That's true. Jason, thanks for covering last week. I'll be honest,
my pleasure.
I still haven't listened to the show yet. I haven't had time, but I'm certain it was great.
Chris said it was a good show, so that's high praise.
Good.
Did I?
Yeah. You said it just as I was hanging up Skype, so maybe you did that on purpose so I couldn't respond.
Yeah.
That sounds like something I would do.
Right.
Yeah, but last week I was having some technical issues, all the USB devices on my computer decided to die, so.
Oh, fun.
Everything's working great right now, though. I have some awesome stuff I wanted to share last week that I didn't get to share this week, or the week before, or however, fever. just not here right now. Let me pop a rock star real quick. Hold on. So
over under of how many topics before I take over hosting?
Yes,
that's probably great for your stomach.
Yeah, you're right, actually. It will be great for my stomach.
Well, because it'll kill all the viruses.
Mm, that's good.
Or will it supercharge them?
So, funny enough, I have, for reasons, Gatorade here in one hand, and it's orange Gatorade. This is the orange Rockstar Recovery. I can honestly just pour the Rockstar into the Gatorade, and
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That would actually be pretty good.
And be really dehydrated.
That's true.
It'd be like rehydration, dehydration. Let's put them together and see what happens.
Brian, didn't you used to have a podcast about, like, being healthy?
We ended up just talking about junk food all the time.
Yeah.
They really did.
Pretty much.
I love doing that show.
Yeah.
We just, it's like, hey, what is McDonald's serving this week? Well, McDonald's has the 4,000 calorie Big Mac this week.
Yeah, maybe you should have gotten in touch with the people who do that brand eating blog and see if they needed a podcast.
Hey, something you would say McRib.
I have lost nearly 30 pounds in the last month, though. So
that's just because you've been sick.
You have to keep it off. That's the trick.
Hey, so there was, in the 2 weeks that I wasn't sick, I actually kept losing weight. Cool. So momentum.
Yay.
Momentum. Nice. Momentum. So, So let's start off with what we got. I want to start off. So I got a Corporal Klinger action figure from MASH.
You were gonna say you got a carpal tunnel syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, funny enough, fewer people get carpal tunnel syndrome anymore because people stopped talking about it, and then people. Yeah. Then people, stopped going to the doctor saying, "I think I have carpal tunnel." It's funny how that works. I got a Klinger action figure. That's not the important thing. So I got the Cyberverse. God, what's the scale? The $15 scale? It's kind of like Warrior? Deluxe. Yeah.
Yeah, Warrior.
Yeah, Starscream. It's sort of terrible.
Yeah. No knees, man. No knees.
It is sort of terrible. It's, in a lot of ways, is reminiscent of, like, mid-2000s Happy Meal toys. So,
it's a step down from RID, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey Brian, wasn't you the one on Twitter that said what was the cost difference between producing a Cyberverse Deluxe
the cost between producing Cyberverse the TV show versus Combiner Wars.
I wanted to talk about that later on, but I'll just mention it now. I watched the first.
I thought it was a toy. I'm sorry.
No, what I said was, what's the difference in producing the cost, like Chris said, of the Cyberverse TV series compared to Combiner Wars? Because whatever that difference is, it's worth it. Because it is substantially better than Combiner Wars, and the TV series is substantially better than the toy line. So the toy line does the TV series no justice. But, you know, funny enough, basically the same style toy, but a little bigger. I got the Cyber Battalion Shockwave.
What do you think of that?
I mean, it's a crappy toy, but it looks great.
The crab tank version?
It is a jet sort of thing. Yeah.
Cyber
Battalion. Walgreens.
So Triplett and I were out a couple weeks ago, and we found two of them at one of my local Walgreens. We didn't have to fight over it. I would have won since I'm substantially bigger. But
yes, but Triplett might have been well at the time.
This is true. I love Chris. I mean, he's wiry. He could be. You know, he might have surprised me.
No, I don't think so.
But
in all the time I've spent with Triplett, no, I don't think he could surprise you.
Well, I don't know. He's been playing a lot of Friday the 13th, so he may have picked up.
Yeah, and Fire Pro Wrestling right now. So, and I haven't played anything hardly in months. But it's a beautiful toy that is pretty crappy. Otherwise, like all the other Cyber Battalion toys, but it looks great on my shelf. But I want to thank Chris Triplett for buying the $30 price point Optimus Prime, so I didn't have to.
Perfect. You made him waste the $30.
Yes,
that's nice of you.
He got the Optimus Prime and the Megatron. So the show before last, I was having some issues with my Megatron. I think so. Basically, the head is supposed to be held together, it seems like, by tension, and it feels like my Megatron head was the upper torso was too tight for the head to be released. So right. I just removed some tension with a screwdriver, and it popped right out. So it works fine now. I wish I'd have been able to get the post show in. It had me like beating it against my desk, trying to get it to pop out. it was just tension with the figure, but it's still not a great toy. But it's a little better than I expected, and. Looking around, I don't think I got anything else Diecast, do you get anything?
Yes. Yes. Before I go, though, I had a question about the Cyberverse line. I'm thinking the RID line, the gimmick was just the chest piece that interacted with the game.
Yeah.
So it was really like kind of a very subtle gimmick as opposed to the Cyberverse, which has those battle action features, which really hinder the toy.
Useless action features, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the gimmick actually takes away from what they can do with the price point of the toy.
So Armada, oh, yeah. But worse.
No, Armada was great, for the most part. For the most part.
Yeah. And especially for the time when it came out, when, you know, they could make these huge toys with a whole second toy included, and it still typically came in under $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But no, Diecast had a point there, because I just, you know, kind of wanted to ask, crappy as in, you know, under-articulated, or crappy as in badly done? Because I can't believe I'm the one saying this, but I kind of, as I go along, want to slightly uncouple the idea from articulation being, like, the only metric of quality. You know
articulation
what I mean?
Is not the only metric of quality. I agree with that. It's the fact that they don't fully transform. It's the
like, yeah, that'll do it.
Most of the figures don't have a full transformation. That's the thing that gets me.
Yeah, that's a good measurement of crappy. I think that works.
And they just
I don't understand those scout size figures.
And they just don't feel like they just don't feel good in the hand.
It feels like someone watched More Than Meets the Eye episode 1, saw Soundwave turn into a light pole, and thought, we can beat that.
And watch Siege Soundwave won't.
Yeah, probably not.
Right.
Well, Diecast is looking a little bit annoyed that we won't let him talk about what he got, so I suggest we start talking about Star Trek.
No, I'm fine. I did get X-Transbots, whatever, Pakin. What's he called?
Pean
on something? It's their Trailbreaker.
Oh.
Or not Trailbreaker, Hoist. I'm sorry. It's their Hoist. So
I've got that. That's a good horse.
How do you spell the name?
Paean, it looked like.
It looks like Paean.
Paean.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Paean. Paean.
Is his last name Them Bills? Paean Them Bills.
So Paean, it's pronounced Paean.
It's pronounced Paean.
Yeah, is a song of praise or triumph. Does that mean because? So it's like trying to hoist something up?
Yeah, that's
that is such a reach.
Yeah,
that is a heck of a direction to be taking that name.
Usually, when it's peeing, it's going down. But I mean, you know, whatever.
No, he's peeing up the rope.
Yeah.
I also got the 2YES model, the next 2YES model. Make toys upscale of their Defensor. Techno.
Huh.
No, I thought it was Defensor.
Protectobots.
Oh, Protectobots. I thought you said something else.
No.
So yeah, I got them, and you know, now I'm 4 figures in. I only need a Hotspot to complete my Defensor.
Hey, nice. Diecast, weren't the real ones on sale for like dirt cheap there for a while?
The Computron one was, but it's also I kind of like that they're upscaled, so.
Even, I don't blame you there.
Yeah. And now the very interesting thing that I got, and a lot of people saw this on Twitter, was this display stand that at the top says BotCon, and on one side it's Bot, on the other side it's Con. But it's very strange because it has non-sale samples, and then it also says Club Souvenirs. And has fun right down in the corner. So pretty much the only thing it's missing is the pub. But I have no idea why these were made.
Fascinating.
It's very, very weird.
So basically it's a third party TFCC homage thing.
It's like kind. It's like China was trolling BotCon. It's really
not the first time it's happened.
It's so great. I love the box. There was only 6 of them. I bought them all.
It was just like, because that's really weird.
Yeah.
Let's hope the stand quality actually is good, because I've seen a lot of them stands just fracture under trying to hold up something.
No, it's a good stand. It's actually like someone identified it. Someone identified it on Twitter that they recognized the armature. Now, whether they copied that armature or it was the company that did that other stand, I don't know, but it's got a really nice... Of course, I grabbed one that's not open. So
good job.
Anything else? Try and open it. Anything else, Diecast?
No.
Okay. So I want to jump to some breaking news that's relevant to this segment. I was supposed to have a Walmart pickup order that was ready for pickup today, including the Legion Class, Tailgate, Swerve, Outback, and Bumblebee, the G1 toys. I just got a notification saying that the pickup order has been delayed.
Oh, no.
Yes. They will let me know when the order is ready for pickup. I got to note that Bumblebee was backordered.
Mm.
So what is that's the stand?
That's the stand.
That looks like
That looks kind of like
even kind of like the GoBot. The arm there looks like the arm, sort of like the arm off of the
Machine Robo stuff.
Sort of.
Yeah. No. Someone identified the arm. I just forget where they said it was from. And then on the back of the stand, it's even got some adapter pieces. So it's a really nice stand. It looks really good. I wish they're all bought. There's no con stands that I know of, or maybe I missed those.
I wish I cared about stands. They just seem superfluous to me.
But yeah, like so Don's point, that's probably going to be more durable than what we usually see in those display stands, because it's not clear plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I usually, I've been getting a lot of Legends figures lately, or Legends scale figures, so I think these stands will be nice to help display them so they're not all standing next to each other.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Well, cool. Go ahead, Don.
Just be careful, Diecast, and don't lose them so they stand by you. So.
Oh, God, Don. Try harder.
I'm sorry.
Don't.
Yeah, do you have anything, Don, to talk about?
I have nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
Disappointment because you haven't found the Nova Star yet.
Yeah, that's... Well, I have disappointment all the time. You know, but that...
Well, this is a specific form.
Yeah. Hey, no Nova Star, no...
Have you been to Ollie's yet,
No Bumblebee. My Ollie's has minimal transformers. My Ollie's has almost no... As of 2 days ago, my Ollie's has almost zero transformers on the shelf.
Yeah, my Ollie's doesn't have much. You said you're going to go to Greensboro. There's a gigantic Ollie's there that you should check out if you haven't.
Yes,
just
it's a window.
Remember, if you see Misfire and Twin Twist, Rob needs those.
Yeah, I saw that.
I actually went to look specifically for Rob because I was like, oh, I'll check my Ollie's.
Yes, I think all of us with access have actually gone and done that at least once at this point.
And I walked in and there was nothing. I went up to someone and I was like, did you not put the toys out? Like, because you have nothing. And I thought they were supposed to buy like all this back stock it was going to be flooding
the shelves.
They
got the truck yet.
It's at two. They said that. So they said that it was a $200 million retail price. So I have some insider information that I probably can't share about how much they actually spend on stuff like that. But I can assure you it's nothing remotely close.
I expect.
Yeah, that's why they wanted it the way they did in the email.
Yeah, nothing.
Yes,
they get that stuff for a song.
And anybody else who made a special trip to check for me, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Because I'm afraid it's all going to be like Lionfire Megazords, and that's all the entire buyout was that.
Well, something I saw when I went to Ollie's the other day, they did have a bunch of Matt. Remember all those Tyrannosaurus movie Zords we saw in the last days of Toys R Us? Those were there right now.
I do want to mention though the Ollie's the newsletter did say not that they were picking up things specifically that were left over from Toys R Us itself, but from Toys R Us's distributors. Yes. So there's probably more to that than just the Megazords.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be surprised to see the Megazords though.
From now through December, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is about the time of year, maybe a little bit later when Ollie starts really ramping up for Christmas, and then like a good 8th or 6th of their store seems to be like toys. But Don, you know the one I'm talking about in Greensboro, right? You need to go to it.
Yeah, it's the one on Wendover where Kmart used to be.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's ginormous.
Trust me, I'm familiar with Greensboro.
Yes, sorry. I love that. Like, yeah, I love that Ollie's. It's amazing.
Yeah, I used to park at the Toys R Us in high school, do my homework in the car, hit Toys R Us, Zares, Bradley's, Brindle's, Best, all in one day.
Wow.
Within a 5 mile radius of each other.
Funny enough, talking about getting that Cyber Battalion Shockwave, I was talking to Triplett, and I'm like, do you miss these toy hunts? And we both agree that we don't. Yeah, I don't miss toy hunts at all.
Well, it's we've talked about this before, but
that depends on if they were fruitful hunts or not. Yeah, like, you know, going from place to place just to be disappointed, yeah, it gets old really quick.
Yeah. I mean, I miss finding things, and I miss having the kind of time I used to have to go and do this.
I miss the internet. I miss the internet being small enough that I was the first person to find things.
I miss the gas being $1.35 a gallon.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. But, I mean, but we've said it before. We can walk by, like, say, our Target, and stand at the row, and you can tell nothing had changed for weeks because every figure was in the exact same order.
You can tell that from the road?
Yeah.
No, the row, ROW.
Oh, okay.
I know my accent is a little thick, but it's not that bad.
I thought you said road too, Don. No. So,
you know, I got what he
meant.
Let's
blame it on your connection.
I'm from North Carolina. I understood what he said. So,
but yeah, I mean, you can see how everything, it's like the movie Deluxes before Target marked them down. Literally, they were the exact same order on every Petcook for months.
Sadness. Yeah, that sounds right. Sadness. Last time I was the first person to get something, Ultra Mammoth.
Yeah, but that was cool.
Yeah, moving along. Chris, you get anything?
Yes, a few things I want to talk about. So, first of all, McKay's got a big stash of a certain kind of vintage toy in. So, I decided that we are all Kosh, and I got one of the cheap Babylon 5 figures they have. Now, Kosh is interesting for two reasons. One being that if you look underneath, it is just a solid chunk of plastic with no moving parts. The other thing is, too, that there was a variant of this made, which they called Vorlon Visitor, I think, which is weird because it's the only one of the figure variants that has no basis in the show itself.
We're losing diecast again.
It was me.
They randomly changed colors of the Kosh figure and called it a generic Vorlon. Okay. So that was kind of a weird thing. Now I have a Kosh.
If it were a Playmate Star Trek figure, I'd be right there with you, but I have no idea what in the hell that is.
Ah, well, in that case, you might be interested in the Odo I got. Ooh. From Trials and Tribulations.
Nice.
With his fluffy little tribble friend.
That's amazing. How much was that? $3?
99 cents.
That's even better. Ooh. I love McKay's.
Yeah, no, this was from a comic book store.
Oh.
So the interesting thing is it has these little fluffy soft goods tribbles, but there's also a plastic tribble.
That's great.
I can't figure out why.
Was it from from another toy potentially?
Well, all the accessories are the same color, so I assume not.
Like the soft one, could that have been like from a Harry Mudd from like an original series?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know why Harry Mudd would have tribbles though.
Wasn't he in?
No, he was in the animated series. He was. He's the one that had the tribble hunter thing.
Yeah, sorry, getting my Star Treks mixed up.
And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about is I bought some Mega Bloks action figures and made myself a new security chief for the Enterprise since we don't have a wharf yet.
That's awesome.
So that's Lieutenant Beastman, chief of security of the USS Enterprise, with his phaser and his whip.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You should have.
Somebody had to take over Worf's spot when he transferred to DS9.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
You know, which you should, if the parts were there, Chris, you should have made it Eric's just to piss him off.
Oh my god!
So far, I don't think there's a torso with an arm connector sticking out the middle of it. But I can't take full credit for this. This was largely inspired by Anthony from TFU, so I just had to make that happen as soon as I could find another Data and a Beastman together.
Cool. Anything else?
No, that's all I care to talk about this week.
I love McKay's.
I didn't get anything on topic, so I'm just kind of, you know, doing highlights of my off-topic.
So, for my very first Father's Day, I was asked what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to McKay's. That's what we did.
Yeah, but Case is cool when it's a good week.
Yeah.
And thank you for not buying the Supreme Cheetor and sending it to me.
It was like $40, and the joke wasn't enough. It wasn't worth that
yes,
much to me.
Thank you. Yeah,
but it would have been to me, though.
Let me see how much you get for on eBay. I have your address.
I do thank you for not buying it. I appreciate it.
But someone had to send you the picture.
Someone had Supreme Cheetor in, like, well, at least parts of it at the convention I was at, in like one of those dollar bins at the bottom that everyone puts on the floor, and I was like, I should get that for Don.
When I have time, I am going to go to my local, because I live out in the county and we don't have trash pickup. We go to the local dump sites, and I'm going to take what's left of my Cheetor, and I am going to record with my camera me taking it and throwing it into the dumpster. So I have something for posterity to throw that piece of crap away, and I'll never have to look at one in my collection again.
Sadness. Okay.
DK Rat Trap in the chat suggests get Don a Supreme Night Scream. Unfortunately, there is not a Supreme Night Scream. There's only an Ultra Class Night Scream.
God, that's a terrible point.
He is probably on the chopping block, too, and I mean that literally.
Well, if you leave it sitting long enough, I think all that clear plastic will just start to disintegrate on its own.
I don't want to wait that long. With a hammer, Don.
Yeah.
If you turn it around and you use the claw part as a slicing chopping thing, you can.
Okay. Cool. Jason?
I didn't get anything. I ordered something, but that won't be in for, because I'm getting from China. I do, however, have a report from last week, because anyone who was listening remembers Rob asked me about if my son has had a reaction to Cyberverse yet, which he hadn't, but we did after work on Friday. We took him up to Target, because that's where our Cyberverse currently is. And he was very excited for the toys. So excited for the toy, not the overall toys. So we finally got to the Transformers aisle, and I said, look who's that. And he goes, Bumblebee. And immediately walked away.
Nice.
Now, to be fair,
how old is he now?
He'll be 4 in January. Now, to be fair, the two Ultimate Class figures, Prime and Megatron, weren't there, which may have been a little more appealing. At least those are the only two I would consider at this point, other than Shockwave. Yeah. But yeah, just complete and utter. He was the Mario stuff, man. He loves playing Mario Kart and stuff. He's all about the Mario stuff. So I don't know if Transformers is going to get a very fair shake from him at this point.
Today, I got my 2-year-old harmonica. She was happy.
Nice. You won't be in about a week.
I was about to say, well, you know, the stomach virus is probably going to keep you up anyway. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Matt, anything? Nothing?
I got some Gundam markers.
Oh, nice.
How much do they cost per
That's
unit?
That's about it. Oh, these were cheap. I got these on Amazon. They were like $1 or $2 a piece.
Really?
TFradio.net/Gundam marker.
I need to buy some of those. I normally just use Sharpies, but I should be better than that.
Yeah, I mean, even fine point Gundam markers are better than even fine point Sharpies for, you know, like detail, lining details and things.
So. Yeah.
So if I ever actually try to do any customs that I have planned, you know, I'll have, you know, some.
Gee, I wonder what that could be.
Very cool. Rob, anything?
No, I finally saw Ripper Snapper in a store for the first time, but I honestly don't want to commit to an entire other combiner right now, so I just let it go.
Oh. John?
Nope, nothing.
I got an email today that the pre-order is processing soon for MP34S Shadow Panther, so that's something.
You actually ordered that?
Yeah, I forgot that I did.
Surprise!
I don't even remember how much I'm paying for it. Let me check that real quick.
80 probably.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad then.
So 90 too much. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was super expensive.
Yeah, I actually need to check.
Unless you ordered it through Toys R Us Australia, in which case you got charged money for it, and they're not going to give it to you or give you your money back.
Yeah, $90 bucks.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Man, I have those. The Thundercats Savage World figures on pre-order. I don't know why. Okay. Let's see here. Moving along.
You know, I would not want to stiff anybody like that in a country where someone could just bend over anywhere, scoop up something poisonous, and mail it to.
That's a very good point. I never thought of that.
It's yeah, like, I wonder what trouble they have with that in Australia. Yeah.
No, this week in history, big news. Cyberverse, the first four half episodes are up on Cartoon Network's website. I went to the T-Formers article to click the direct link because I searched around on Cartoon Network's site and I couldn't find it.
I think it's through the app, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, that's what I'd heard, the app, yeah.
I watched it on the website through that link, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on my PC. I really liked it. I'm surprised how much I liked it. I really liked the first few episodes that I watched of Robots in Disguise, and I kind of trailed off. I need to go back and watch it. But there's something about the look of it, one, that I really like, especially the backgrounds have sort of a painted quality to it. Honestly, it's like especially with like the desert and stuff, it's kind of G1, reminiscent of G1. In fact, I was on Twitter, I think it was Walkie who had said that he actually can't separate this from the, in his head canon, from G1. And I was actually watching it in context of that. And I mean, if you want to say it's a continuation of G1 post season 3, I mean, you could potentially make that argument. The Seekers would have to, you know, become Seekers again. Bumblebee would have to, you know, change back from Goldbug.
Well, Ratchet liked them better way anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But basically everything else is just hand-waving at that point because, you know, we don't know that Windblade didn't exist prior to, you know, season 1. I mean, it's entirely possible. Perceptor's in there. We have a space bridge. We have the Ark. I'm not willing to say that it's impossible that it couldn't fit. And it feels much more like it fit than it could fit than say Prime, which is just boring. Transformers Prime is boring. So especially the first couple seasons.
Oh, the second season was the worst.
Yeah.
Well, now, is Cyberverse is it a continuation of RIT 2.0? I mean, I'm not seeing anything.
No,
but
no, it's new.
We don't.
Nope.
Well,
yeah, it's something new entirely.
It feels new, but it's taking a lot of cues from G1 season 1 and 2. Okay. And more modern stuff, like, you know, like the attack stuff, you know, like Bumblebee has a special attack. And so actually, in the G1 cartoon, they all had their special, many of them had their special abilities. But they weren't built into the toys. So,
it's also got some comic in it because everybody has a special arm.
I do not get that joke, Don. Can you explain it to the audience and to me?
Sorry. It's Scrounge from the Marvel G1 comic. His arm, his special arm, was only one like it, and all the toys.
Well, now there's
like
not
special.
Even one like it, Don.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I like it. And watching it, I kept forgetting that it wasn't a machinima. I'm like, why are the voices not bad? It's like, why isn't this paced terribly? You know,
because this actually has some attentive directing, probably.
Yeah. So,
It's the best frame rate we've gotten out of a cartoon in 3 years too, because RID was a little jittery as well. That was the style of it. So, much smoother.
What's kind of weird about the voice acting being better too is the fact that they, you know, nobody has heard of anybody that's in this. There's a very good chance that they're going completely with non-union voice actors the way that Rescue Bots Academy is. So they probably spent a lot less on these voices than they did on the Machinima voice cast.
Then they should have put it toward the toys.
Well,
I don't think it works that way, Don.
But the Machinima, the Machinima cast didn't make sense because with all the like the celebrities and stuff. I mean, it was just like, why are you hiring people that Transformers fans don't care about? Transformers fans don't care about Samoa Joe. Most of them don't. They don't know who he is. Most of them. It's like,
don't know who any of the YouTube personalities were either.
I don't. Yeah.
So. I had never heard of any of them.
So, they should have had us do it. We would have done it a lot.
Don,
cheaper.
just have Don do it.
Don, do all the voices.
I'm remembering it was probably an April Fool's episode that time we did the joke live action movie parody and had Rob Springer voice Michaela.
I go back to the Ravage 3 Bodies Evolution one where I voice actually it was a Transformers movie parody when I do Galvatron. Was I Cheetor or was that Trix?
I don't know, but I was also known as the Oracle.
You're the Oracle. Yeah, but
wow.
Honestly,
I never saw this, and I'm not sure I want to.
Do you not remember Ravage 3 Body's evolution from Altoids Transformers in 1998, Don?
I never read it.
It was actually probably later than that, because I think it was inspired by the Transmetal 2 Shadow Panther Tripredicus agent.
In the text.
Which didn't come out until like 2000 or 2001.
Don, go back and read it. It's the greatest fanfic ever written.
Yeah, I'm sure Kilby has a copy he can lend you.
It's on our website somewhere.
I'll put it on my list of things to do.
Yeah, but going back to Cyberverse.
What talking about?
Hey, you know, fast and loose this week because I just am not feeling great.
Because you've got a stomach virus and a fever.
Yeah, so, but yeah.
Yeah, the stomach virus pretty much guarantees everything's going to be loose for Brian for the next few days.
Cyberverse.
And pretty fast, too.
Cyberverse is great. I like it. Did anybody else watch it?
No, because I didn't know until just watch it on the website, not the stupid app.
I give it thumbs up. I can't wait to watch more.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I will throw that on tomorrow with my son, and I'll give you guys a report next week.
Yes. Right. Very good.
Please.
What I hope is I'm able to keep up with it.
Oh, no, you won't.
No.
You won't.
So we'll see.
Although, if they keep putting it on the website, I mean, that'll make it easier for you, because you won't have to work around Cartoon Network's schedule or, you know, find DVR time.
But, yeah, admittedly, the reasons I didn't finish Robots in Disguise, Cartoon Network.
Because you didn't care?
No, mostly Cartoon Network. The reasons I didn't finish the Unicron trilogy is because I didn't want to. And the reason I didn't watch the last season of Prime, I can't remember why I didn't watch the last season of Prime.
It was on too early. No, not Prime. Not Prime.
Because you were probably too hurt by season 2.
You must have watched the last season of Prime, because that last season was really good. That's when
that
Bumblebee
was the beast
started
beast
talking.
Hunters.
We watched the movie. We did watch the movie. We did a commentary for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the season 2 of Prime was so bad that
there was a lot of episodes, and I think there were filler episodes in there.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, I don't want to talk crap about people's taste, but when I see people online, like on Facebook groups and stuff, say that Prime is their favorite series, it just hurts my heart.
I love Prime. I mean, there were
you like Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah,
there were some bad episodes in there, but I generally remember fond memories of Transformers Prime.
And there's two.
I have some fond memories of Transformers Prime. Starscream for one thing. Yeah. Knockout here and there. Also, right episodes down. That had Margaret Scott involved in their production tended to be above average.
Yeah, but it's not like to say that Transformers has this rich history of great fiction. I mean, you know.
No, pretty much just Beast Wars. Beast Wars
and animated.
You know, a lot of animated. Yeah.
Animated.
But, I mean, there are two series that are inarguably better than Prime. Prime is the third best Transformers series. Right now.
I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah. But it's not the best.
It's far and away better than the movie.
God, it's so much better than the movie. It's so much better than the Unicron trilogy. even though a lot of people love Cybertron, what I've watched, I can't get into it.
I wouldn't say I love Cybertron. I appreciate it for actually like being
trying.
The only decent entry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you see what they were trying to do with it. But a lot of Cybertron is like by default is the best because the other two were just.
Yeah. Well, no, Cybertron, Cybertron had more involvement. Involvement's probably the wrong word, but like there was obviously more focus put into it from the production and directorial levels, where things like they would add dialogue voiceovers to the extensive stock footage instead of just letting them run as is, like the previous series would have. Like they did things to try to better the material they were working with, and I think they actually got like, you know, finished animation and such and had like actual scripts and some lead time to work on the dub scripts for those instead of just like whatever.
I realize I'm not being fair to the original Robots in Disguise cartoon because it did have an amazing localization that saved it. So you could make an argument that, you know, it's a very watchable series, and there are times when I watch the episodes and they're localized so well, again, like the fish test. I go back to that episode and I'm like, so preposterous that it's amazing. So you could make an argument for the original Robots in Disguise cartoon. Or even, I guess,
it's
the new
one. It's fun, but it's not like great Transformers storytelling.
Oh, no. No.
So, I mean, you know, you kind of have to be clear on what metrics you're using when you rank the shows.
True, true. But yeah, so since nobody else watched it, I can say I fully endorse the first two episodes or the first episode, because I think there's only, it's like 20 minutes total, so I guess it's really like one episode of Cyberverse. It's great. We have.
Yeah, I heard an episode is 12 minutes.
I mean, so they're broken up into 5-minute chunks on the website.
Okay. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah, so that's what we have, 5-minute chunks.
So yeah, it'll be the two episodes that show up the first time slot they have then.
Yeah.
Just, weird.
So we have First Look, new studio series, Deluxes, revealed at Fan Expo. So this is in Canada, so Hasbro announced a few weeks back that they were going to show off new stuff there. So, hey, they did
of course, that announcement was in relation, presumably separate from that and the bonus.
Hey, so you broke up on my end, so that's the end that's going to go out. Can you repeat what you just said?
The reveals are in reference to the panel they're supposed to have, I think, on Friday. So this looks like this might be a bonus above and beyond that.
Oh, nice. So,
I like that World War II Bumblebee.
Yeah, he has a hammer.
Oh, is that a bumblebee?
Yeah,
that is a bumblebee.
Yeah, doesn't look like a bumblebee.
Well, it's the
flashback bumblebee from the last night.
Maximize the picture and then look at it. That's bumblebee.
Yeah, the head is unmistakable.
Yeah,
and zoom and enhance.
Yes.
I know. Yeah, zoom and enhance.
It kind of looks like Hound, if you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's bumblebee.
The color and the gun.
Yeah,
it makes it very Hound.
Well, Movie Hound. Yeah, I guess.
It's funny. I just want to refer to Movie Hound as John Goodman because it's not Hound to me. But he's just John Goodman.
I still have to fight to call Movie Hound Hound and not Bulkhead.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That too.
Yeah.
Hey, that's something. And if what you say is it turns out to be accurate, you know, even more stuff. That's great.
Hopefully, yeah.
So we already talked about the Ollie's thing.
Yeah.
Diecast had sent us a note to our internal mailing list and said, hey, Ollie's has $200 million of retail value of supply toys from the supplier of the world's largest toy retailer. Hey, come and get it. So it's basically everything, not just Transformers. So I went to my local Ollie's, and the first thing I saw was they always have cutesy, like, in-house made signs, and it was something done with a Sharpie. It said, "Toys are here." And I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
So I went to an Ollie's on Friday, I think, and saw literally at least 100 of Titans Return Wave 6, I think, the refresher case that was Hot Rod and Twinferno, Croc, Quake, and
Slug Slinger?
Trigger Happy.
Okay.
So, none of the ones you actually want to have. and also, like, 3 facings of Premiere Edition movie Hot Rod packed solid, like, whole shelf deep. So, apparently it's not just Toys R Us stuff they're getting now.
Yeah, so they get everything. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up having. So they have the you mentioned Hot Rod, right? So
yeah,
is there anything else that's popped up in the last? We haven't seen Cogman yet. I'm just waiting for Cogman, like a big cache of Cogmans, to show up somewhere.
Well, yeah, we only even know of a few instances of Ross and TJ Maxx turning those up among the movie deluxes they're getting now. Like today, I was at Ross and they have 3 drifts, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean there have to be more Cogmans out there.
Yeah, there has to be more Misfires and Windblades and that wave out there, because like there was some that got into circulation, but not nearly enough to represent like a whole production run.
Yeah, I'm certain. Certainly produce more.
Some Ollies did start getting that wave. Am I correct? Because like, we've seen photos of that.
Yeah, I mean, Don even found some from that wave first time around.
And you would imagine that the stuff that Ollie's got would be organized in a case. But honestly, a lot of times what they get is just a pallet of stuff that's been shrink-wrapped together. Then God knows what's actually on that pallet.
So, yeah, if they're lucky enough to get, like, unopened cases of product, they just, like, box cutter the cases and stick those on the shelf, and that's just kind of what's there.
Yeah,
but otherwise, it's just, like, a bunch of loose crap.
I mean, in the past, I've seen them get, you know, it was Prime. They got a bunch of Prime stuff before, and it was all cased, tons of cases of that. They typically get Transformers in cases, but they don't have to get them in cases. I mean,
The Titans Return Deluxes I saw, none of those were bundled in shipping cases. But I believe the Hot Rods, the movie Hot Rods I saw, were in cut-open cases. And the pre-existing Voyager stock they had was still sitting in shipping cases, too.
So sometimes what Ollie's even gets and other retailers is somebody will put up and say, I have these 500 pallets of stuff. It's kind of like Storage Wars. I have these 500 pallets of stuff. It's got toys in it. Make us an offer, and they'll actually bid for it. So sometimes a lot of that's sight unseen. So this liquidation market is a really interesting and strange place.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, Brian. One thing I've noticed in checking the various Ollies since they became a thing is that I have seen sealed cases up on the riser, and I know it's various product lines, and I know what those cases are supposed to be. And when I break the seal and look inside, it's all one thing. So in some cases, it looks like the stuff is being, you know, repacked or something, because it's all one figure or all two figures, and that's it.
Could be.
I mean, for goodness sake, sometimes Ollie's, at least my local Ollie's, has gotten, like, dead people's collections of comics. I'm assuming they're a dead person's comic collection. But they've come, like, in a ratty-looking long box. And they'll sell them for, like, $1 each.
I mean, is it some person's collection, or is it, like, a comic book store that liquidated?
It's impossible to know. But, I mean, like, literally, Ollie says, because I've looked at their website, they will buy anything. And it says, email us to make us an offer. So, they will literally buy anything if the price is right and they think they can sell it. So it's probably not a dead person's collection, but so the interesting thing, like the sticker, it was packed up with eBay stickers, like eBay tape. I mean, so, I mean, goodness knows. I love Ollie's. I've worked in retail my entire adult life, in various capacities, typically in the strategy and operations space. So what Ollie's does is so foreign to what I've done. It's like I have a real appreciation for it. It's just I find it fascinating business.
It's kind of like Big Lots 2.0, you know, before Big Lots got all cleaned up and professional looking.
Yeah, the way I put it, it's Big Lots on crack and steroids. So I love Ollie's. I love Ollie's so much. I could never work for Ollie's.
Well, that was a good quick segment for news we had already talked about before.
Yes, but it's just I always love talking about retail stuff. So what else do we have going on? Let me get back to the show notes because I was actually looking at something else. MPM7 Movie Masterpiece Volkswagen Beetle Bumblebee photo. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm skeptical if that's actually a picture of MPM7.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's big, isn't it?
I mean, how can you tell?
It just looks like pre-existing stock photos, which if I cared more, I could probably track down to an original source. There's nothing in there to show me or indicate to me specifically that that is a new product or MPM7 at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it is,
you can't just really tell from a picture of a toy yellow Volkswagen.
But this means it's coming.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly available mid-October.
And this is just so weird to me, the next item. and it looks like other stuff that they've done recently, but that Transformers Golden Lagoon Convoy, and you notice they call him Convoy.
Yeah.
Because hadn't Takara gotten into the habit of calling him Optimus Prime?
Well, when it's G1, he's still Convoy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But the packaging, I like it. It's similar-ish to like the Street Fighter packaging, minus windows and craziness. But it gives
me nothing like the Street Fighter packaging.
But it gives me the same kind of vibe, though. I want this. I just don't want to pay what it'll cost, so I'm not going to get it.
The in-hand pictures look better than the official images did.
I think. It's not quite. It's not quite as just butterscotchy. It's a little more golden.
Oh, I'm sure in person it'll look just as much like crap as the stock photos did.
I don't remember who actually gets exposed to the Golden Lagoon other than like Beachcomber's hand, right? Who else?
Almost everyone.
Omega, like the Megatron.
The entire cast of Autobots and Decepticons.
Okay, so this does make sense canonically.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to hear about the episode, you can listen to the latest episode of TFU or Transformers University. He actually covers it this week.
Cool. We probably did a rewind of it as well years ago, but
oh, who even knows?
Yeah.
Oh no, you did. For some reason that popped up on the site when I was looking at something the other day. It did pop up. So yeah. You have.
Yeah. I just like it's G1 season 2, so I pretty much ignore it. Cause it, you know, like there's Wardon.
It is the inferior season.
There's Wardon, then there's the rest of the crap.
And Bot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Bot is a triumph of storytelling potential.
Season 2 has some of the best...
It's 23 minutes of some of the best conceptual sci-fi you'll ever find out there.
Yeah, it sure is. The Shadow Panther, talking about that before. This is the news, guys. The coin is revealed.
This is why we spent literally 45 minutes talking about Star Trek and Babylon 5 waiting for Jason to show up.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying that so much more.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Are there people who actually collect these coins?
Evidently, yes.
So whenever I get a masterpiece figure that has these coins, it doesn't go in the trash. But it goes in the drawer. It goes in the bottom of a drawer somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So,
I have a few of the coins, or maybe two of the coins from the Unite Warriors combiner sets. I think I was actually annoyed that Computron didn't come with one, because that ended up being like a direct from Takara Tomy version, whereas some of the other ones I got were Hasbro Asia, I think, and those came with the coins. It just kind of ended up being annoying to me not to have any consistency with my sets because of the different sources. But at the same time, if I had never gotten one at all, I wouldn't have cared at all.
Yep.
So we have new Cyberverse Scout photos.
Yeah, check out the alternate mode on the Optimus Prime. I say alternate mode since I'm unwilling to call that a vehicle mode.
Yeah. So where were these found? Nevermore shared them?
Yeah, cool.
They came from some retail website.
What in the heck?
I'm just surprised.
I've coined a term for that Optimus Prime alternate mode. That's Gur Drive. It's the opposite of Gur Walk.
Gur Drive.
These are terrible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think the Warriors look too horrible, yeah. At least in comparison.
It's almost like they looked at Toy World's Leia and said, "We can do worse than that."
Hold my beer.
Yeah, this is it's almost like they wanted to prove they could make a mainline toy that was worse with
the Warrior class Megatron, I think actually looks pretty good overall. The only sticking point for me on that is that I'm almost positive there's no like bicep swivels. Like I could even live without a thigh swivel on that. That's not as big a deal to me, but like the bicep swivels are like basic posability requirements. Otherwise, that actually does look pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, just if they just give that the fists a hinge to fold down.
Okay, maybe that too.
You know, just something that, if nothing else, just hide it on the back. There was a Megatron that was very similar to that, where the arm swung to the back, but there was a hinge at the wrist that you could fold it down, not into the arm, but I remember you could fold it down, and you just didn't have hands sticking out the back.
Yeah. So tfradio.net/586 for the show notes, the article about Bumblebee the movie. I'm skipping that. So if you care about horrible toys from that line, you can go look at the link. So moving along, I'm going to do the Figure King magazine, August 2018, high-res scans. I don't know what's on this because I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. So
So the one thing that I remember being notable was they have an inset picture, which is a side-by-side between the original Evasion Mode Optimus Prime and
the new one.
Leader-ish size one from the Bumblebee movie in Japan. Yeah. So that does prove that's significantly bigger as a toy than the previous. So, you know, if you're in the market for something a little bit higher scale,
of course,
there's no indication whether Hasbro's actually going to release that toy, but you know,
it probably
doesn't really fit into a studio series concept.
Yeah.
I don't recall if there's anything else super noteworthy in this. There's some good pictures of the, Siege stuff.
Yeah.
Which that does show that the cog toy can, in its vehicle mode, be broken down to form Gasket and Grommet, essentially. Yeah. So that completes that functionality a little bit more too.
That's turned out to be a really versatile little toy.
Does this?
Well, yeah, you can do that when you don't actually design it to transform.
True.
This doesn't give the designation for the new convoy, does it? Do we know that yet?
No, I don't. I don't think that's been established yet.
They're just calling it version 3.
Yeah, okay. Until a number can be assigned. Because they probably don't know exactly when it's going to be ready to be released is probably part of the problem. They may also have a couple more releases in the pipeline before it that they don't want to give away by revealing a number that's, you know, X removed from whatever the last numbered one we know about is. Did Hound have a number revealed?
I don't remember. So on here also, it's showing the Encore. I call it Encore because, I mean, it is slightly repainted as well. The big convoy.
Well, it is Encore. That's the branding. Thunder.
But it's it is not the original Deco. It's somewhat changed. It's not a great toy, but I love it. It's one of those things. It's a love hate relationship. I pre-ordered mine from Amazon Japan. I think it was like $80, which is honestly only $30 more than I paid for the original back in like '99, '98, something like that. So honestly, that's not too awful bad, like in the grand scheme of things. But this will look nice beside of my original and my Nemesis and my Ultra Mammoth.
Yeah, it's a good looking deco tweak. I don't particularly feel the need to own this mold more than once.
Four times here. I don't have any lucky draws. Or are there repaints of this like beyond those two that I mentioned, the Ultra Mammoth and the Nemesis?
Lucky draw.
Well, I mean, not counting lucky draws. I mean, like there's a burning convoy for Lyo Convoy, or no, for for regular primal. But
there is Flash Lyo Convoy.
Yeah, Flash Lyo Convoy. Is there something else that I need to get that I don't know about? I can't think of anything.
I can't off the top of my head because I want to say I remember seeing a gold chrome big convoy, but
it's gotta be lucky draw.
On the same line, I want to say there was a black big convoy that was also a lucky draw thing. Like, as far as retail, I don't think there's any missing.
Okay. I'm going to the chat real quick to see if they're yelling at us or yelling at me about something I can't remember. You know,
I just figured they'd be yelling at us in general because we're just like all over the place tonight.
Yeah. Is there anything else in the show notes that I want to talk about? Movie David Sobolov, who is
I think we want to talk about that a little bit.
Depth Charge from Beast Wars, and also I guess Gorilla Grodd from Flash. He's going to be in the Bumblebee movie. God, Depth Charge is one of my favorite Transformers ever. It would be amazing if there was a Depth Charge in the movie. That would make me so happy. We shouldn't have the movie Hound. We should just have Depth Charge, and David Sobolov could have done that voice.
Well, the submarine they use in The Last Night should have just been Depth Charge then.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that's...
Or Six Shot.
great. Okay, so Shockwave's Lab. But that, David Sobolov, that's great. I'm very happy for him because he's phenomenal. So Shockwave's Lab to offer extra accessories for Masterpiece Dinobot. Am I missing something?
Yeah, remember that time in Coming of the Fusors when he pulls down the weapon rack inside the Axol and takes all the everything off of it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's basically what this is kind of imitating, and it works with the display base that it comes with.
Yeah, I see it.
Already.
Kind of like Full Metal Dinobot.
I don't need it. It's
a neat option. It's a neat option. Yeah, I don't. If I owned MP41 Dinobot, I don't think I would be super interested in adding this.
Yeah, and I can't see a bandolier and not think of Zardoz, and I don't want to think of Zardoz. So,
I always think of Geechee Sideswipe is what I think of when I see the bandolier.
Yeah. So, well, I had to get the Zardoz reference in there. Let's see here.
So the bandolier does it. What about Unicron's head? Does that give you any Zardoz?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go. I never thought about that, but yeah, you're right.
Too bad I've ruined that for you now, too.
Thank you. So, speaking of ruining things, the Planet X PXCO2 Cadmos, which we talked about before, but I read it as condoms, and I thought, what? Mm-hmm. I'd completely forgot about this. Yeah, I know, right? Planet X Cadmos.
It's IDW Star Saber.
Yeah,
is it, though?
Yeah, it's kind of IDW Star Saber.
It's not even Planet X in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, Planet X should be video game toys.
Well, they're going that way with the Zoras too, so they're just branching out a little bit.
I don't like this.
No, me either.
It's unnecessary.
Blah. It's blah.
Because, like, apparently the back end of it forms Star Saber entirely, and the little saber jet that they show is, like, an add-on piece. Not even integral to the basic robot.
If Hasbro is going to keep the evolution thing going forward, I'm sure we'll get a Star Saber more affordably down the line anyway.
I hope so. Probably hopefully better executed, honestly.
Yeah. Hey.
This just seems to be kind of like, comics are ending. Better get our figures out. We've been working.
Well, the thing is too, like, for what this is probably going to cost, you probably could just get a masterpiece Star Saber, and you know, not be too far apart.
Probably not. Yeah.
I don't like Masterpiece Star Saber.
I like Masterpiece Star Saber.
I understand on various levels Masterpiece Star Saber is not for everyone, but just in terms of getting something that performs a function of being a Star Saber, you know, there is another way to go that's a little bit more, like, you know, accurately and functional
Fully admit that the Masterpiece Star Saber not being what I want, it's all on me because it is all I want. It's exactly like everything I would want out of a Masterpiece Star Saber. But when I see it in front of me, I'm like, I spent too much money for this. But in hindsight, compared to the cost of things now, it was a bargain.
Yeah, how much was it? Like $150?
Yeah. Now that's like, whoa, that's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, if it was released now, it would be a 25,000 yen masterpiece.
Probably.
Yeah, so
just because it's so big.
I think Diecast put this in the show notes. So, as best KO company name ever, it's a link to a Taobao thing, and I'm not seeing the name. So, what's the name?
I'm concerned.
It's up on the corner of the box.
AOD?
AOD, which is short for Art of Duplicates.
Oh, and well,
they are. This okay. is their first one that I know of, and they're doing Masterpiece Power Glide from the DX9. There's actually two different KO companies that are doing the same figure at the same time.
The Richtofen?
Richtofen. That's hilarious.
So, but I think that's the best name ever, the Art of Duplicates, because, you know,
and at least the KO company,
here I am.
Yeah, at least Taobao is calling him King Kong, which, you know, planes King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That again, seems like a reach.
It's not a biplane, yeah.
No, but.
And away we go. Hey, speaking of away we go, hey, tfradio.net/Amazon, if you buy something, it helps us out. Seriously. Like, we need to buy stuff, like, you know, hosting and things. It's expensive. tfradio.net.
Also, there's taxes to pay.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Yeah. Hey, there you go, and buy a shirt. tfradio.net/shirt. John makes awesome shirts. I think he said that he has the next design completely submitted, so we're just waiting for it to go through. But that's going to be the orange Robot Collector shirt. So I'm excited about that. I still need to pick up the Headmaster shirt. I haven't done that yet. In fact, I should just go ahead and do that tonight.
Yeah, you should do that right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
While we're recording, because that is, you know, that is the way of Brian Kilby.
Okay, I'll do it right now. The way of Kilby. TFRadio.net/shirt.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing that we do.
TFRadio.net/shirts.
Yeah, it's shirt. Either one works. I made both links work, just in case.
Okay.
That's probably for the best. You should probably do that with Diecast's review short link to make it review and reviews.
I think it is.
Since he can't remember.
I think it is.
Okay.
So, and I went for the soft fabric, pre-shrunk.
It's a good upgrade, I hear.
Yeah, it's worth it. tfradio.net/shirt. It'll help us out. Let's see here. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Mainly just a bunch of Bumblebee movie toy commercials, if anybody's interested. We've got an ad for the Energon Igniter's Power Plus series, and also for the DJ Bumblebee and Power Charge Bumblebee, and I have not watched any of those
yet. I watched the DJ Bumblebee one. I thought it was kind of cute, but it's not for me. That toy was horrible.
No, it really isn't. Power Charge Bumblebee looks like something that I'd probably enjoy if I could pick it up for $15 on discount at some point. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would at least think about it.
Yeah. Way to wow us. Way to wow us there, Hasbro.
Yeah, speaking of wowing us, Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 69.
Nice.
Red Vetting Pathfinder. On this episode, a session becomes a game within a game when the PCs agree to run a war game against the town guard.
Yeah, that was a fun game that we ran. It's a pretty interesting podcast. If you play, if you're a GM or you are a player of a tabletop RPG, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good discussion in that one for sure.
Yeah. Let's see here. Rob Springer is on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer. He's at zonebase.org. He is prepping for Halloween. I mention Rob every week. Rob, I love you. And you've been here since not the beginning, but nearly the beginning, like 2000. But you know what? Rob was on the Transformers University podcast this past week. And when was the last time we had a Rob Springer podcast here on RFC? Yep.
A year or more?
It's been a while.
Just saying. But we love you, Rob. So you can find Rob at zonebase.org. And you can find us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And occasionally on the Instagrams at TF Podcast, though we tend to use Instagram for like big events, like New York Comic Con and
Massey Attacks
and stuff like that. I've been meaning to like post like collection stuff, and I do it occasionally, just not often enough. Let's see here. I am on the Twitters at B Kilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And I use Instagram way more than I ever thought I would. So Instagram is not my jam, but it is my pass through to Facebook and Twitter. But if you like Instagram, you get to see all my stuff there. I just don't respond to comments because I never see them. That actually is pretty much the case everywhere. I don't respond to comments or messages typically.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's not because I don't like you. It's just because I never see it. I go back to my Facebook messages and I see stuff from like months ago and I'm like, oh, I should have responded to that. But I just don't look. So I actually turned it off finally on the RFC Facebook page because we were getting messages that I was never responding to. Yeah. Like I hate the fact that you can message stuff on Facebook. I have email. That's what email is for. We don't need your messages on Facebook, people. I also don't respond to a lot of things. Email sometimes too. Hey, Chris, you are on Flickr at flickr.com/chrisrtxv. Have you posted anything recently?
Well, certainly not in the last few days, but I mean, you know, go check because if you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
Yep. Hey, did I mention I have a fever of like 99.5 right now? Which, considering
that's fever.
Considering I normally run at like 98.3, I run low. That's a fever.
It's totally. No, see, that'd be a fever for me because I usually run at 97.6.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sick. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
Jason.
Let's see. Go to everlastingminute.com because by the time you're hearing this, we are gearing up for our last 15 episodes. We're almost to the end.
How long?
Everlastingminute.com.
How long did it actually take you to record that podcast?
Well, we're still not, we're not done. We have two more, 1.5 sessions to go. We do 6 episodes at a time. So 2 weeks at a time. Usually takes about 3 hours to do a session. Yeah, between 2 and 3. So, a lot of time.
Cool.
There's 100 minutes total. So,
yeah.
What a weird project.
I mean,
it's been fun.
That's a thing, though, right? These minute by minute podcasts.
Yeah. If you go to moviesbyminute.com, I think, or movie minute, I can't remember the site, but there's like over 100 at this point. There's even one, unfortunately, already for the Transformers, the movie. So I can't do that one next or anything, but. There's one for pretty much everything, and it'll start with Star Wars Minute and Gutterballs, Big Lebowski, Minute by Minute show. So they've been around for a while.
Yeah. I don't get it, but there's a lot of things I don't get. Hey, so Matt's tired. He's on Twitter at Melvar, 3 L's, 2 R's. Melvar. Nightcast.
Unlike Brian and Radio Free Cybertron, you can message me on Facebook.
I don't know why you'd want to, though.
At Reviews by Diecast, and I may see it and answer. You can also message me on Twitter.
You have me as Diecast. You have me as an admin for that, so I get the messages too. You might want to turn me off as an admin.
I don't get messages.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you can also follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. And check out my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews and on YouTube at youtube.com/RFCReviews.
Cool. Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs. Also on YouTube at Flailthroughs, where we're continuing our pretty much it's full-time Gundam Battle Operation 2 coverage at the moment because that has been doing really well. If you want to request a specific mobile suit for that or New Gundam Breaker, hit me up at patreon.com/flailthroughs. And, of course, any Transformers-related videos that Chris and I produce will show up on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
We've got another piece of Breaking Studio Series news. I'm pasting the link in the Skype chat now.
Okay. Hey, so while I say that... John is somehow recording a mini cast and in this with us right now. So John is everywhere. That John D.
So this is apparently we're going to have a studio series crankcase, which is a retool of Crowbar.
Yeah.
So it's basically just the same thing, apparently with a new head, and they made the hands gold now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thrilling, huh?
Thrilling.
Yeah.
These movie toys, these studio series toys are really losing me.
I like that World War II Bumblebee.
Yeah, One thing I really appreciate is Hasbro churning through these as quickly as they are, and the quality being as fairly good as they are. I just wish
You're a Bumblebee.
Yeah, unless you're a Bumblebee. I just wish I cared more. Like, I don't have any attachment to any of these characters.
I'm pretty happy that characters. I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We might be too old for these characters. I think this is for the younger set that's just coming into their disposable income, perhaps.
Like, wouldn't that... Well, okay, I was thinking back to this. I'm like, what would Eric
They're for want? Eric. Yeah.
So Eric is just 18, so Eric would have been born in 2000. So Eric's first Transformers that he would remember would either be Cybertron or animated. God. Oh my God. I mean, it's not even like Armada. I mean, there's a generation of kids out there who their first Transformers was like Armada or even Robots in Disguise. And I remember the Beast Wars kids being young.
Those kids are in college now, Brian.
No, like like those Beastworks kids are like, if they're in college, they're like getting their, you know, post grad stuff.
No, no, the Armada kids are
the Armada kids and robots in disguise.
Yeah, yeah, you're right though. The Beastworks kids are in grad school now.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Dang,
the Armada kids probably are too. Considering, you know, Eric's in college, so
yeah, and Eric will be designing these things at some point in the future.
They will all look like Bisk. They will all be.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, actually, so I would much rather have a Transformers design team that was inspired by fun stuff like the Robots in Disguise toys than movie stuff.
Yeah, I think given the choice, but I would rather have seen thrown away in order to make Cyberverse happen would have been like Generations as we're getting it currently, and keep the Robots in Disguise style design stuff, because like I enjoyed a lot more of that more thoroughly, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Don knows that one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everyone, every kid of the 80 knows that one. No, I don't mean the 1880s before anybody says it. I'm not that old.
You know, I was going to, in my head, I was thinking a teenager of the 80s for you, Don, but.
Yeah, I was, when Transformers started, I had just turned 14 when I bought my first Transformer in 84, and it was mom bought me Sludge, which was my first Transformer.
So I mean, I'm not too mad enough to admit that I was being emotional today. I couldn't help it. I just wasn't feeling good. Baby was sick. We were sitting there watching Mr. Rogers together. It just brought me back to, like, why can't, you know, the world be simpler like it used to be? But we were watching an episode of Mr. Rogers, probably from the early 70s, because he basically looked like our age, and which was weird. But he was talking about his dog Mitzi, who died when he was a kid, and it was just so sad, and I actually started crying. And I realized I was crying about a dog that died about 75 years ago.
Well, see, that's why I don't watch that one episode of Futurama, because it makes me just hate and cry, and just I will not watch that episode.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know, that's not that sad.
Well, it is to me. It kind of is for me. But
I mean, I can see why people find it sad, but I mean, I don't think that's like overwhelmingly sad. Not. I think it was made out to be bigger, more sad than it was than I found it, I guess.
Okay, but what about that episode of Deep Space Nine where they're talking to the Starfleet captain who's stranded on that planet, but it turns out she died like 3 years earlier?
Oh man, that's
heartbreaking. I love that episode. Spoilers. That is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, I love it. It's so. It's one of the most interesting takes I've ever seen on just, you know, something is up most of the episode, but you can't figure out are they going to not make it and she sort of dies like in the last episode or, you know, or something. And then you find out it's just.
But I think we can agree that the most heartwarming time travel episode of Star Trek, or involving time travel of anything, though, is Time Zero. Yeah.
Like Ben Sisko in that episode is how I am at work every day, just completely burnt out and just done with everybody.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about that episode. Like, it's this wonderful character exploration of a lot of different characters in the cast, which is that thing Deep Space Nine was so good at doing, but they framed it in such a way you don't even really think about that they're just sitting around having the characters essentially talk to the camera about their feelings for 45 minutes.
All right, so we're podcasting about the sweet sound of her voice tonight, right?
On that one episode of Star Trek.
Somebody call Hey Mickey and Scott.
Well, hey,
now,
Chris,
leave Scott out of it. We'll make him sad.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, is that one? Y'all didn't cover that one, did you?
No, we didn't. Okay. I'm almost positive we didn't.
No, that's a really good episode. Why would?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, it, and this is kind of Hey Mickey's thing too, where like we can enjoy really good episodes. They're not always the best thing to talk about, though, because we just, you know, are sitting there like, yeah, that scene was really good, and there's not really anything more to deconstruct out of it. The exception for me was Sisko Builds a Boat, the exact title of which I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but you know what I'm talking about, the solar sailboat, and him and Jake go out.
Yeah,
well, I did take immense sick pleasure when we made Hey Mickey watch The Storyteller when we were at his house, though.
Oh, yes. But Sisko Builds a Boat is an episode I think is really genuinely good because it's got that thing Deep Space Nine does where it gets into that character exploration. Of course, there's more like plot around it than The Sound of Her Voice generally. And it's something where I've watched that episode so many times, I can just sit there and kind of deconstruct the scenes and really like pull out of what they really accomplished with it. And I just remember it was one of my favorite episodes of the podcast to do because Scott got so mad at me for talking about the show so much. And I could not figure out, okay, it's a podcast about talking about Star Trek episodes. What's the problem with me talking about a Star Trek episode?
I was thinking about Next Gen today at work, and I was trying to think of what my favorite episode was. So many people love Next Gen, and it's not my favorite by a mile. But I mean, there are episodes that I love. I think my favorite episode is Tapestry, and something seems off about that.
That is so good.
I love Tapestry. Yeah, I love that episode.
It is. Well, I think the thing for me with Tapestry, it's the hook. It's the pre-credit stinger. You're dead. It's like it's sort of like cause and effect. The show opens up with the Enterprise blowing up. Your hook is right there.
Okay. I mean, well, on the same note, like Devil's Due has a really good hook too. Where you got the Enterprise going to the planet, and the first thing they get from the Starfleet people on the planet is these people think they've sold themselves to the devil.
Oh, that episode. Okay.
Yeah, that's not one of my. I like the way Picard kind of unravels all her tricks at the end. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, but it's that's not. Well, you know my two favorite episodes. I'm just saying. You know my two are Yesterday's Enterprise and Darmok. You know, those are my two favorite episodes.
Yesterday's Enterprise is a good episode too.
I very much appreciate that. Yes.
Yeah, and Darmok is an episode I appreciate also, but kind of like The Inner Light, I think it kind of ends up getting overblown in reputation a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I love it just from a technical, well, not just the show itself, but Paul Winfield pulling off the role as Dathan with only that kind of dialogue to work with and conveying so much emotion through the makeup and no real dialogue per se. And you still get the gist of what this character is like. It's
fair enough. He's no Captain Terrell, I just gotta say.
As far as favorites go, I gotta throw The Measure of a Man up there.
You know what all these have in common is it's all episodes where Patrick Stewart is basically just like let off the leash in different directions to just be Patrick Stewart and perform on screen. Mm-hmm. Without a lot of other stuff going on to take away from what he can do. Yeah. Like, that's the common thread through all these episodes we're naming right now.
It's
I kind of like Masks for the same reason, but for Brent Spiner.
Okay, yeah.
Which one was Masks?
The one with the masks?
Oh, yeah, the one where Data has alien multiple personality disorder.
I actually kind of hate that episode. Is that but
season,
I,
there's season 7?
Yeah, there's season 7. Yeah, that's there's so much in season 7 I just...
I always saw that as like the high mark of overacting.
Yeah, I mean, I maintain that season 7 has one good episode, and it's a really good episode. And what's the date? The date.
Oh. Okay. Fair enough.
You know, one of my favorite earlier episodes. It's not my top five, but it's one I watch. The Big Goodbye.
Oh yeah, I like it.
That one, but I think I think if I had to have a third favorite episode of Next Gen, it would be the first Moriarty episode for just kind of just saying, let's, I wish they had done more, like, you know, if, I wish there had been some kind of event or an enemy, and they couldn't figure out what to do, and they're thinking, we have one of the greatest minds ever created, fiction or otherwise, stuck in a box, and we can't figure out how to deal with this, so they let Moriarty back into reality, and it plays off on how he's dealing with, he thought he was free and he's not, but he's the only one that can save this situation from getting worse or something. So I really, but again, there was a whole lawsuit and all that, you know, with the estate and everything.
But, you know,
funny enough though,
like I would assume, has anyone ever read the book, Superintelligence? It's by the guy, his name always escapes me. I think he's a professor. Nick Bothram. But basically, the idea is that there are different types of superintelligence that are eventually coming, AI, et cetera, or augmented intelligence. But one type of intelligence comes from eugenics. And potentially, we could have a higher average IQ with the right, I hate to say eugenics, but using eugenics, than we could have had the highest IQ that's ever existed. So I don't think that Moriarty would be considered that intelligence in the 24th century. Not that we would use eugenics, but I just think that by that point,
well,
I gotta
also,
think of the Flynn effect and everything.
Well, that Moriarty was because they programmed him to be that way.
Yeah, he was specifically designed to be smarter than Data. So.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, if you think about it, it'd be like if they put if they decided to have a holodeck program based on House, like based on the programming, yes, he would be medically smarter than any doctor in Starfleet at that point because they designed him to be that way. Yeah.
But I'm saying with the way the character was created for that very viewpoint, but also the fact that if he was fictionally up against Holmes, and you're dealing with that level of observation, you would have to have a very similar trait. So yeah, it would be outdated by the 24th century. But maybe that's just it. It's sort of like Grimlock's new brain. I'm sorry. Call the primitives.
Oh. Yeah, a little bit.
Primacron couldn't figure out how to stop the energy creature because he was so smart he never thought about the reverse switch. So this problem would be so that current thinking wouldn't get you anywhere. But someone from another time would say, "Well, what? Just try this," because it would never occur to them to do that.
Okay, but back to Star Trek. I will not have you disparage the Next Generation season 7 because we have the episode where Barkley turns into a spider.
Yeah, I called out Barkley's Protomorphic Syndrome. Good season 7 episode. Yeah.
That scared me. That moment when he jumps up against the warp shield.
I hate that.
Yeah, that was a good jump scare.
It was, but I'm saying it still scared me. There, it's like I wasn't expecting that.
Great creepy episode. Like
yes, it was.
You know,
was.
They actually pulled that whole concept off pretty well.
And another one I kind of like is the one where Geordi and Ro die.
Yeah, I always liked that one.
I thought that was a strong sci-fi concept there. Yeah, that was a, you know, they're not dead, but it's like
yeah,
hey Data,
they might as well be.
Is that season 7?
No, that's season 5.
No, that was
yeah.
That,
oh,
that's
I thought
before
it was
they did
6, but yeah,
5.
Okay. That's before the Bro Laren's actress decided she was going to do other
stuff. Yeah, I think Michelle Forbes showed up one time in season 6, and then one more time in season 7.
I don't remember.
She was mostly a season 5 thing.
I don't remember that episode, but it sounds vaguely like the Tholian Web.
Kinda.
Yeah, there's shades kinda. There. Now, if you want to talk classic Trek. My favorite episode, The Doomsday Machine.
That's really fun. I watched the remastered version of that just recently because I was gifted the full series DVD set a few weeks ago. And they did really good on that with the remastering. Like, A lot of new visual effects. I love the way they remastered the original series, because like they added, there's a lot of new shots they added that weren't the same as what the original effects were, but they're so in the spirit of what the original the original episodes were that it doesn't feel any of it out of place. The episode Court Martial has a lot of that too, where there's like detail shots on the Enterprise and everything that weren't there before, shuttle flybys and stuff while they're in orbit of the Starbase planets. Like, I really like how they did all that.
Is that the one where Kirk was accused of killing Finney?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good one too. But I think Doomsday Machine is just like, you see Kirk trapped on the Constellation?
Yeah, it
was Constellation. Yeah. And you got Decker, who's, you know, Fruit Loop multipack PTSD, there.
Give him a break.
Yeah, he's having, oh yeah. And then you've got Spock trapped in the middle between a Commodore that outranks everybody and Kirk saying, do something with this idiot in my chair, you know, pretty much.
Well, as soon as Kirk ordered Spock to take him out of the command, he did. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, that was just, that, to me, that's just one of the best episodes. That and
you got to think in context of the series, too. It's interesting because that's the first time you had two starships working together on one problem. Like, everything before that, it was just the Enterprise handling whatever, and this time there was the other wrecked starship that was coming in. Also, it made a really different kind of feel for the episode than most of them.
And that was perfected in Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
I love that. I love that end battle.
Yeah. Do you think Mirror, Chris, and you two, all y'all, really? Do you think Mirror is kind of like Darmok, where it's kind overrated? Of got? No. I mean, Mirror is a great episode. I love Mirror, and it set up the whole Mirror universe. But do you think as time has gotten by, it's maybe gotten this aura around it that maybe is a little bigger than the episode?
That's what overrated means, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I love
it. Okay, so here's the thing about the Mirror universe. It was an interesting plot device in the episode where it was introduced. And I like seeing it called back
occasionally
in Deep Space Nine. The first two times, the first two times they did it, because the introducing Mirror Jennifer kind of made for an interesting plot dynamic. When they introduced the Mirror Defiant, that's when it was kind of pushing it.
But Mirror
when they decided they had to go once every season, that was a bit much.
Mirror Vic Fontaine is the best.
Ground, same way Voyager ran the Borg into the ground.
No,
Voyager was way worse.
Now, I've been told...
In terms of ruining a concept, though, is where I'm going with that.
I've been told the Mirror episodes of Enterprise are really good.
They are.
And I've seen bits and pieces, but they haven't actually...
but you have to take that into context, too, with that, like, 70% of Enterprise was hardly worth watching.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I like Enterprise better when it was in first run, but trying to go back to it, like, it does not hold up well for me.
I loved it in first run. I've never gone back and watched it again.
Good call.
I've never watched the finale again because that just...
Voyages.
I think we did that for the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
These are the Voyages, like, terrible.
It is. It's so terrible.
God, I hate it.
So terrible because they tried to pass off that old Riker as being the same one from Pegasus. They couldn't even get the remade sets to look correct.
I mean, why not? I mean, the Enterprise E set should have still been around. They could have just had it happening when they're on the E. I figured by that point they could have been on the E at that point.
During season 6.
Yeah.
Was Pegasus season 6? I thought that was also season 7.
That's a 6.
No, it was
5 or 6.
It was either 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely wasn't 5. So, okay.
Okay, I guess we're good to go. Things are working.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I guess we have to talk about Transformers now.
No, I disagree.